everyone. Welcome back to the Pathfinder 101 podcast. Today's interview is with Mr. Scott Jacobs. He is the Vice President of Acquisitions at StratCap. Thanks, Mr. Jacobs, and let's jump right into the question.
What were the influencing factors in choosing like the particular college? There are plenty of options from like Ivy Leagues, top privates, top public colleges, and so and also what role do you think a college plays in shaping up someone's career status and or financial status?
Yeah. I had a very unique example. I got recruited for lacrosse, so I was basically selecting the school I wanted to go to versus the typical process that most people go through. I had the option to pick half of the Ivy League schools and ended up choosing to go to Penn State. I think, the reasons for that is I felt like I'd already gotten the Ivy League type education at St. Mark's, but I don't think that was necessarily the right mode of thought to have going into that process, because, going to an Ivy League school is really a continuation and even a, more concentrated level of education than what you're getting at St. Mark's. So I was kind of silly to think that, but I ended up choosing Penn State because out of all of the schools that I was looking at compared to the, Ivy League schools, I felt like Penn State provided more of a quintessential college experience, something that was sort of the, anti-Ivy League, where, you got the big state school and a big football team and kind of, why people typically go to University of Texas. Like I'd always wanted to go to University of Texas, and Penn State was the one school that kind of fit that profile amongst the lacrosse schools that were recruiting me. So that's kind of how I ended up choosing Penn State. It was probably a top 50 university, and they have some of the top engineering programs in the country. So that definitely helped me pick the school as well. So that's kind of how those two items sort of overlap between me kind of specializing in math and science and realizing that Penn State had a pretty strong engineering program.
Do you have any doubts or hesitation at any points during your path, and how did you overcome these?
Absolutely. I actually thought about transferring back to University of Texas a few years into college. I think it was during my sophomore year, just because I was homesick. I don't think it was like anything related to this school, but I do think that as you're thinking about colleges and especially state universities that are out of state, like you're going to school with kids who are all from around that regional area. So it's like easy to get homesick. I think that one thing to keep in mind that if you're going to an Ivy League or going to a school that typically has kids come in from all across the country, you have more of a mixed melting pot of people from across the country and across the world. And I think that that's like I went to grad school at Yale, and I felt like having that mix of people there was refreshing versus having like a bunch of people all from kind of the same area that I was going to school with.
Given your current exposure to various fields, would you do anything differently if you could go back in time to your high school days?
Yeah. Like if I could go back, I think that could have gone to Yale for undergrad. And I think that, looking back on it, I think that the education that you receive is as you move through your career, there are two things that really propel you, maybe three. The first would be sort of your resume, right? And it starts with the college selection process, or it starts with that college, and people see that you went to like St. Mark. If a college sees you went to St. Mark's, that's like a good check mark, right? And same thing, the better the school you go to and the more name worthy it is, that's going to be helpful in the future versus going to a no-name college. The other two factors that I think are key to sort of my career path and kind of how you move along is your network, which that is something that, kind of just develops over time by who you are and the people you meet. So again, like your next job is potentially going to come from just people that you know. So network is one of them. And then the third is just your own hard work and perseverance post-college and work ethic and what you learn in your career. So it's sort of, I think resume, work ethic, and, because even if you, like, let's say you don't go to the best college, but then you crush it at your first job, that's going to be what sends you to the next level. People care less what college you went to, because you're, you know, doing so well in this, you know, first job or first position post college. So I think that, you know, you could go to a random community college and still have a very successful career. So it's just kind of a recipe of what you want to have. But I think that, like, since I went to, you know, Penn State, but like since I went to Yale, you know, being able to drop that in an interview kind of just allows people to say, okay, well, he checks that box. We don't have to like worry about his intelligence and what he's learned.
What role have mentors played in your career?
I think mentors have been extremely helpful. Sometimes they're people who have been in my life all along the way, and sometimes they're mentors that are just there at different stages of your career path. But I think it's really important to, I've always leaned on mentors when I have, you know, different career choices, because, you know, they've been through this, right? And I think that you should always utilize a mentor network, because like that's going to help you select the appropriate college, and it's going to help you make the decisions in your career along the way. And, you know, I think that even when I'm in the job search process, sometimes I'll talk to a, you know, potential employer or whoever, and if they can't offer me a job, I sometimes just ask them, well, what do you think? And, you know, continue to do that. I think that, like, if I was to put myself back in your shoes in high school, I think one of the things that we overlook the most is, like, you're at an amazing school, and most of your friends have done phenomenal things with their lives. And, you know, when I look back at my classmates' parents and like how powerful they were in each of their own respective fields, I'm like, oh my gosh, like I just referred to, you know, that was just always, you know, Mr. Adams or whatever. Like I never even asked him what he did or really wanted what he did. And, you know, because you don't have that type of curiosity. Most people don't have that type of curiosity in high school of like sitting down with their friends' parents and be like, tell me about your career. Tell me about your career path. And, you know, you asking these same questions to your best friend's parents. And I think that if I were to go back, that would be something that I would likely do with a lot of my friends' parents and my own parents.
So what are some important skills that you wish you had developed like earlier on in your career?
I think that, I mean, this just comes with being organized, but you know, building a contact database of, you know, people who you talk to, interact to, and maintaining those relationships and maintaining those contacts, even if you're only reaching out to them once a year, because I think that's something that's, you know, your network becomes one of the most valuable things that you'll have as you end up in your career. And I think that's probably something that you don't really think about until you're in those positions and you're like, oh yeah, like I know so-and-so and they can help. Like having a large network makes it a lot easier to get things done the farther along in your career that you go, and certainly maintain those relationships. So maybe that's one thing. I'm trying to think of like what skill sets or what skills that I use now. I mean, I think that's probably one. I don't know if it's a skill. I would say relationship management, time management are key for me. Being involved in athletics always forced me to really like make every hour count during the day, because you just don't have a lot of time once you give a lot of that time, especially in college, to athletics.
Could you elaborate a little bit more on what exactly relationship management or networking entails?
Sure. There's sort of two different types of networking. There's kind of the curiosity networking, where if you don't know what you want to do and you're just kind of going around and meeting different folks, like let's pretend like you know kind of what you want to do, right? Let's say you want to be in consulting or you want to be in sales or whatever. I think that relationship management is finding out, you know, who would be good people to talking to them, and then maintaining that relationship, making sure you reach out to them once a year. And also at the end of each of those conversations, typically you're like, have an ask for them and say, can you introduce me to like one more person or two more people? Because a lot of times, like, they might not necessarily be able to answer your questions or and just say, hey, are there any other people who you think would be helpful for me to speak to? And if you slowly kind of build out that web, even just starting from that one first node, you can actually get to know a lot of people through that. But a key part of, you know, networking and relationship management is to hope to not always have it be a take all, right? And hope that it's not like a selfish relationship where it's like a one way. So hope that you can, you know, hopefully provide something for them. And so ultimately it's like, well, what kind of insight can I help you with, you know, and maybe there's something you can help with that they can't, and maybe they're looking to hire someone and you might have a friend that fits that profile, or maybe they're looking for some insights from, you know, people in your demographic. And so, you know, just, it's always good when you're having those conversations to make sure you're also figuring out how you can be helpful to them since they're offering their wisdom to you.
Now we're going to shift gears a little bit to understand more about your job. So what exactly does a typical day or week look like for you? And what do you like most and what do you like least about your work?
Oh man, typical week for me. So I work in finance in real estate investment, and we specifically focus on investing in data centers. So for me, I think it's like twofold. I spend a lot of my time in acquisitions, but some in asset management. And so asset management is taking all of the real estate assets that we own. We buy data centers. And so we have, you know, right now, probably like 6 or 7 data centers under management. And so I'm constantly looking at the financials for those specific investments and making sure that we're collecting rent, that we're paying our bills, and that we're performing economically how we plan, how we underwrote the deal. So, and handling any situations that come up. Are there extra costs or are there cost savings that we can apply towards this specific investment? That's one piece of it. I would say the other side of what I do is in acquisitions. And so I'm constantly looking at data centers to buy. And there's a lot of analysis that goes into buying a data center because you're looking at you're trying to basically value, just like when you're buying a house, it's like, well, am I overpaying for this house? What's a good price for this house? What am I willing to pay for this house? What can I turn around and sell this for? Can I create any value? Can I renovate the house to, you know? And so that's kind of how we look at these data centers, is how do we value it today? And how will someone value it tomorrow? And what are the things that we can do while we own it to enhance the value so that when we sell it in 4 or 5 years that we can create a return? And so I do a lot of analysis on that. I work on like investor reports for, you know, both showing the performance of our current portfolio of data centers, and then also, you know, build reports that are investment memos that are basically a summary of this, you know, valuation and what we're willing to pay for it and how I think that that will translate into financial returns. You can think of it as like the simplest way to think about it is like a, you know, fix and flipping a house, but we're doing it with large buildings. But we are essentially the money behind what's buying a lot of the large data centers out there.
And what do you like most and least about
most and least? I would say that what I like most about it is the truly competitive nature about it. And I think that sometimes winning a deal just comes down to who's willing to pay the most, but it's also kind of a relationship game as well. And there's a negotiation piece as a part of that too. So you kind of have to work the relationship angle and then also using that to negotiate how you can make a deal happen. And so that was actually one of my favorite subjects when I was in business school, was negotiations. And so when I can win a deal and make something happen, that's usually kind of the most exciting part. I would say that the least exciting part is the mundane parts of my job, where we work on a small team. So I'm a vice president, but I joke that I'm also an analyst because I don't have anyone that's working for me. So there's a lot of mundane stuff that I have to do because there's no one else to do it. So we're hopefully hiring an analyst soon, but I would say that's my least favorite part, is doing a lot of the mundane analysis type work.
What is your take on work-life balance, and if you do maintain work-life balance, how do you maintain it?
I think I could do a better job at maintaining a work-life balance. You know, I think that it sort of depends on the field that you work in. So, and that's something to like just kind of keep in mind when you're thinking about a career path, and every career is going to be different. You know, I think I got lucky when I worked for Samsung because they didn't even let us take laptops home. So it was like when you left work, it was essentially like clocking out for the most part. But after my job with Samsung, basically every job after that, it's, you know, you have a computer at home and it's really hard to, you know, finish up for the day and like not work long hours, especially when it's really demanding. And you think that the more hours you put in a day, the more you're going to advance your work and advance your career. But I would say the easiest way to have the work-life balance is to try to put bumpers on your day, you know, and try to say, I'm not going to start looking at business emails until a certain time. And, you know, after this time, I'm going to stop and try to be as efficient as I can during the day. So it comes down to a lot of time management. I think that having a balance of getting your workouts in every day and even like putting it on your calendar, whether it's in the morning, in the middle of the day or at the end, you know, making sure you get your workouts in. And, you know, when you go on vacation and you're on paid time off, try not to answer emails and try to, you know, do that. So I don't have a great answer, but that's sort of how I try to maintain a work-life balance. I think that working from home is something that I was able to get with my last job or my current job. And that's tremendously helped on the work-life balance front.
Another factor to consider when choosing career is compensation. So without going into specifics, what can one expect in this profession in comparison to other professions?
I wish you could tell me. I think that you have the ability to, you know, specifically in finance, there are a lot of different opportunities to make a lot of money. But I think that finance is not the only place to make a lot of money. I think that sales, for example, like sales is you have more variable pay in sales, but if you're aligned with the right software company or medical company in sales, a lot of times those people are making a lot more money than anyone in finance. So as far as numbers, I think someone in my position could make anywhere from $100,000 to $150,000 a year to $1 million a year, just depending on, you know, what firm they're working for and how much incentives and bonus are aligned with their salary. So, and I think you could probably say the same for sales. It could be anywhere from like $100,000 to like $1 million a year. I think I might be jumping to a different question, but it was like, you know, I'm someone who's transitioned careers probably like 3 or 4 times. And I would say that sticking with the same career from day one is going to help you from a compensation standpoint, because I think they say it takes like almost like 10 years to become like a true expert at your industry. So if you pick a career by like age 31 or whatever, 32, like you are a master at whatever it is that you are doing, right? If you career transition several times, you're not necessarily restarting the clock because you're building business acumen during that whole time. So you're learning how to be like a business operator and you are building skills that will transfer over to this other profession. But, you know, you do leave skills behind that aren't going to necessarily translate. And so you're always taking one step back every time you do a career transition. And so, you know, if I had started out doing what I do now, my pay grade would be much higher at age 35. Like I'm probably making as much as like 30-year-olds in my specific field. Potentially. I mean, it all obviously depends.
What steps do you take to stay up to date or ahead of the industry?
I would say there's, for every industry, there are industry periodicals. And, you know, I think that subscribing to different news sources for the industries that you're most interested in are probably the best way to kind of stay up to date. You know, I don't know if conferences are necessarily the most useful, but I attending industry conferences are helpful, especially when you're in high school and or college. That's actually something that I recommend to all high school and college students. So every industry has a number of industry conferences. And if you're in high school and or college, a lot of times you can get into those for free. If you just say, hey, I'm interested in this field, how can I help with your conference? And maybe they'll give you like, maybe they'll have you work for a few hours, but you get free admission. And as a part of that, you're meeting people in the industry that you want to be in. So I highly recommend doing it.
what skills or personality traits would you look for in a fresh graduate that you're looking to hire? Or what would you expect someone to have if you think they were to succeed in their career?
Yeah, I'm always looking for someone who is multidimensional from a standpoint of you know, they have extracurriculars, they have extra things they're doing. They going to class and doing the bare minimum is not enough for them, right? They're going and kind of adding value to whatever institution they're a part of, you know, whatever it might be. I think that it's not just having like hobbies, but it's like, you know, being engaged with whatever, you know, school or company you work for. I look for people that have those extracurriculars and who are really just genuinely curious about what it is that, you know, we do, for example. So, and can demonstrate knowledge in that field. So whatever you can do whenever you're interviewing or kind of, you know, networking around to just learn more about the industry, to be able to share knowledge and show that you are knowledgeable about that specific field is always helpful.
To reach your current position, what major in college and other like extracurricular activities or opportunities do you recommend someone takes advantage of?
I would say internships are key. I think even in high school, if I was like a junior in high school, like I would look to, like I said, you know, talking to different parents about what they do, I would look to go into, right? I think that if you can do that, offer your services for free, that's a huge way to build practical knowledge. And I think that the internships that I did along the way are what helped me get to where I am today. And yeah, repeat the question. I want to make sure I'm answering it.
What are the steps or opportunities or a specific major that someone should pursue if they want to reach your current career path?
I would say the internships, and when you're networking, especially with folks who are kind of younger, more close to your age, closer to like where you would enter that field, ask them if they have like examples of stuff they've worked on in the past that you can kind of, you know, break apart and try to understand how did they build this or what are they doing, you know, to try to really understand. Because if you can interview with me and you're like, oh yeah, I've done that before, like for example, like financial modeling, it's like, oh yeah, like I've actually had a few financial models that I got from this person, and I've worked on building them myself and kind of doing like a reverse engineer of a lot of these things. So, and I think there are more resources out there now than ever to where if there's a skill you want to pick up, you can go online and there's different online learning platforms to, you know, help bring you up to speed on whatever it is. So step number one is kind of trying to figure that out, have it figured out. When I was interviewing for jobs out of business school, I was interviewing for more fields than any one of my classmates. I was interviewing for jobs in consulting. I was interviewing for jobs in like tech. I was interviewing for finance jobs. So I was kind of like across the map when it came to that. But, and as a result, like I kind of was, I diluted a lot of my resources because I was like trying to learn so much and apply myself everywhere. But that's part of what I love. It's just like learning. So
for high schoolers, usually hear the cliche statement, like follow your passion if they go to an adult for advice on like what they should do. So what is your opinion on passion, and how important do you think it is for having a successful career?
Well, I think it depends. I mean, I think that there's a cross section between your passion and really what makes sense, right? So like if I wanted to like finish college and just go be a lacrosse coach, like I don't know that would be the best career option for me. But I think like you also have to ask yourself, like, well, what does success look like for you? And, you know, some people don't need a lot of money to be happy. Some people, that's all they care about. I think that like you should think about, you have your passions and then you have, but you also have what your strengths are. And think about how to apply your strengths into a career that's going to set yourself up to, you know, have more of a work-life balance to where you can then follow those passions. So I think that there's also, I would say there's a time and a place for your passions, and hopefully you can find a cross section in your career path that allows you to do that. So like, for example, let's say I'm really into lacrosse. There might be a way for me to go to business school and get my business degree and then go be a CFO at some like lacrosse company, right? Like that, you know, makes lacrosse apparel and lacrosse gear. But I have this position with that company that allows me to, you know, apply my, you know, math and engineering and financial mindset to that. So I think that that's what you kind of have to like back away and think about how you can you know, create that, whatever. I don't know. I'm kind of babbling on, but hopefully that made sense.
How would you personally define success in your field? And what is an example of like successful behavior you've seen of other people, perhaps your mentors or people higher up that you seek to emulate?
I think success, and again, like I think success is defined in so many different ways, and people have their own goals and parameters for success. I would say in most fields, I don't know that there's any point of true success. I think it's having a vision in sight and tackling that vision. And wherever you set the bar, it's achieving that bar. So for example, like some people, their version of success, they've defined a income level that they want to be at. And their version of success is making enough so that they can have peace of mind, a work-life balance, and can have time for their family. Other people define success as, I want to make, you know, over $1 million a year, right? Or I want to make $2 million a year. I want to make $5 million. Or I want to build a company and sell it for $50 million, right? So I would argue to not try to define success, and that success should be defined by each individual. You know, if you want to go live in Mexico and teach surf lessons, so be it, right? Like that could define success, that you're following your passion. So it's all up to the individual. Yeah, I can't necessarily define what success looks like in my field, because it's all down to, you know, success technically in my field is being a part of a investment team that is continuing to provide returns. Textbook answer would be to, you know, provide returns, better returns than other competing firms.
How has your profession changed in the last couple of years, or even the last decade, especially with more technology and social media? And you were mentioning earlier, like you can work from home more, especially during COVID. So
I think that definitely in the last couple of years, moving to a fully remote environment has certainly made it difficult. I haven't had to hire anyone below me yet, but I know that like when I do, that type of relationship, the mentor-mentee relationship of having someone work for me, is going to be difficult, because I can't just, you know, they can't walk over to my desk and see what I'm doing. I can't walk over to their desk to see what they're doing. And so I think there's going to be a lack of development for a lot of young professionals, but I think that we're going to, you know, figure out how to handle that over the next couple of years. This remote work is all very new, but I would say that's been the biggest change. And I think that the amount of people going into tech has really kind of changed in the last 10 years, as far as what meant. You know, when I started my career, I think finance was kind of where everyone went to make money. And I think now tech is where people are going to make money. So I think that's kind of an interesting concept as far as where the shift has gone.
Do you have any final comments or advice for high schoolers trying to decide what they want to pursue in their future?
I think that the advice that I always give when people are trying to figure out, you know, what college to go to, what career path to take, what job to choose, you know, think about what you're doing at St. Mark's. You guys are all high performers, and you're all, I think that there's a level that you want to achieve at St. Mark's. And I think that you should always be kind of aiming for the stars when you're thinking about what is that next opportunity and how is that going to set me up for the next step. So instead of just looking one step ahead, try looking two or three steps ahead. And if you don't, you know, it's kind of like skate where the puck is going, not where the puck is. But if you don't know what you want to do, make sure that being a high performer so that you can then take that next step. I'll give you a great example. When I went to Penn State, I didn't know what I wanted to do after college, but I knew that getting good grades would allow me to separate myself from the pack and allow me to have the best chance at then achieving that next step post-college, right? And that did allow me to kind of win a competitive position at Samsung here in Austin. And so, you know, whether it comes from the college selection to how you perform in college to where you take your first job, I think that you always need to think about, how is this going to set me up in the future? How are people going to look at this, you know, when I'm interviewing for that next job?
All right. Thank you for taking time to address these questions. This is, I definitely learned a lot from this interview. All right.
Thanks to everyone who's listening for choosing to spend your time with this podcast. I really appreciate it. Please be sure to check out pathfinder101.com for more information like this. Thank you, and have a great rest of your day.